Ramones fans, and welcome to Pinhead Pod. I'm your host, Dave Dynasty. This episode, my guest is actor Clint Howard, who is going to talk to me about Rock and Roll High School, as well as some of the other projects from his career. For those of you who are interested, there is a video version of this interview available on my YouTube channel, and that conversation is coming up in just a bit. Remember, this show is available on all major podcast platforms and is also all over social media. It's on pretty much any platform. Just search for Pinhead Pod. All right, now let's get to our historical dates for November. November 4th, 1977, Rocket to Russia was released. It was recorded at Media Sound and Sundragon Studios in New York, released on Sire Records, produced by Tony Bongiovi, who is John Bon Jovi's cousin, and Tommy Ramone. There are five tracks with writing credits to the entire band, four to Joey, three to Dee Dee, and there are two cover songs. The cover photo was taken by Danny Fields, and it also features illustrations by John Holstrom, who you can hear an interview with John in an episode in the archives. The album did peak at number 49 on the Billboard 200. On November 18th, 1997, We're Outta Here was released. It was recorded live on August 6, 1996 at the Palace in Los Angeles, California, when the Ramones played their final concert. It was released by Eagle Rock Records, produced by Daniel Ray, and it is the only Ramones album to feature a parental advisory sticker due to Joey shouting out profanities during or between songs. And as you know, we've talked about in the past, this show featured lots of guest appearances which are captured on this release. On November 24th, 1954, Clem Burke was born. He was born Clement Anthony Bazowski in Bayonne, New Jersey. He was known mostly for drumming with Blondie, among many others, but he did perform two shows with the Ramones as Elvis Ramone. Clem passed away on April 6, 2025, at the age of 70. November 27, 1982, that was Marky Ramone's last show in his first run with the band. The show was at the Hammerheads in West Islip, New York. Marky was asked to leave the band due to his drinking problem and was notified in February of 1983 as the band was about to go out on tour again. And during this time, Marky was replaced on drums by Richie Ramone. There you have it, the historical dates for November for the Ramones. And now let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will have my interview with this episode's guest, actor Clint Howard. If you like horror movies, be sure to check out Dave Dynasty and Ike Isaacs on the Listen to Their Screams Horror Podcast. It is available on all podcast platforms and on social media at Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number two, in Screams.
And now I'm being joined by a legendary actor with over 200 acting credits to his name, including films like Apollo 13, Cocoon, The Waterboy, Terrifier 3, Ice Cream Man, and of course, Rock and Roll High School, Mr. Clint Howard. Clint, how are you?
I am doing well. I am doing really well.
Good, good. Well, I want to start. I'm going to talk about Rock and Roll High School primarily. Of course, this is a Ramones podcast, so we're going to talk primarily about that. In the movie, you play Eagle Bauer. So tell us, let's start. How did you get this role in this movie?
Well, Alan Arkush, the director, called me and asked me that, you know, he said he was doing a movie. And I knew Alan, and I can take a little step backwards and explain my connection to him. Sure. But that you know, he said, hey, I'm making this movie. Would you like to play this character, this Wheeler Dealer? So, you know, there was no audition process. He just, he asked me if I would do it. Now, I knew Alan Arkush because he had been my brother Ron's second unit cameraman on Grand Theft Auto.
Okay.
My brother's first directing job was for Roger Corman making Grand Theft Auto. Mm-hmm. And Roger assigned Alan to be the second unit director. And Alan had primarily been a cutter of trailers for Roger.
Okay.
That's how Alan got, you know, cut his teeth. Yeah. So anyway, it was Alan had made a movie called Hollywood Boulevard, but this was his first kind of, you know, bigger effort
at movies. So, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. When you got the script, you read, you saw the role, what'd you think?
Well, I liked it. I liked the size of the role. I thought it was funny. You know, I wish I could remember those details, Dan. I immediately said yes. Well, at that time, I had been a young actor. I'd been a child actor, and I wanted to be. I want. It's kind of where I decided. It's what I want to do for a living. I liked the idea for the movie, so it was a certainty. It was a yes.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and well, for those who may not know, Eagle Bauer is a guy who does favors for fellow students for a fee, out of an office in a bathroom stall. So when you're approaching a role like that, which you've had lots of wacky roles like that, right? What's the mindset? How do you approach a kind of a unique role like that?
Well, first of all, Eagle Bauer doesn't think it's unique. It's, you know,
true.
Eagle Bauer thinks that's the way he does business.
That's right.
So, you know, listen, it's very normal. As crazy as it was, him having an office and a secretary in the bathroom
yeah.
was just day-to-day operations for Eagle Bauer.
Sure. What
the,
was with
the whole thing, the whole process, even doing that wild run of the one-handed approach to strap unfastening is a basic skill that must be mastered.
Yeah.
It is all very normal for Eagle Bauer. So that, I mean, that's kind of the thing you got to do with especially comedy is you have to just put yourself in a mindset where you're believing it.
Sure. What was with the necklace with the small Superman?
Props, 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 props. I mean, first there was wardrobe, and then I was probably the wardrobe lady's idea to wear necklaces. And then, you know, I'm a big believer in that kind of stuff. So just bring it on. Let's have more. It's a comedy. We want
Yeah.
more.
Yeah. Okay, so they get brought that to you, the Superman, the necklace, and all that, and that wasn't a
Oh,
that
I
was
didn't listen, Dan. I did not bring that one from home.
okay,
You know,
no.
I do, you know, of course, there's a lot of me in these characters, but,
Sure.
you know, I'm not a wheeler dealer. I wasn't a wheeler dealer. I understood it. It was a character that I wrapped myself around, and I
Yeah.
went out and played it.
Yeah. What were the Ramones like when filming the movie?
They were, you know, listen, they were business. They were all business. I mean, you have to be in a Roger Corman movie because the thing is happening so fast, you know,
Yeah.
that there's no real time to screw around.
Yeah.
That they were very friendly. Markey, I talked to Markey, the drummer, more than I really had talked to everybody else. They kept to themselves, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't really ever have a chance to have any conversations with Joey.
Yeah.
Over the years, I just never had an opportunity to talk with him. I had an opportunity to talk to Johnny,
yeah,
and you know, throughout the years, I would run into him from time to time.
Yeah,
and boy, he, you know, he left us way too soon, which was
sure,
really a shame.
yeah, yeah.
But anyway, it was, and Markey, you know, the drummer's very friendly, very normal, affable guy, you know, and of course, Dee Dee was. I didn't have a chance to really do a lot of talking with Dee Dee,
Yeah.
but I sure loved their input into the movie. I loved the, you know, the end result I loved. And listen, I've said this before, you know, I was a huge, I still am a huge Cheap Trick fan.
Yeah.
And they were considering using Cheap Trick
Yeah.
to play the band.
Yeah.
And I think it became a financial thing where Cheap Trick's record company wanted more money than Roger Corman was willing to afford.
Yeah.
So they ended up going with the Ramones. The Ramones were remarkably, and I don't have the exact details, but I've heard this from Alan, that the Ramones were remarkably, you know, a sale priced item,
Sure.
all in for a very modest amount of money. Maybe their people realized that it was important to be in a movie. They thought there was a bigger upside than there was a downside.
Yeah.
So, you know, so they came out. I remember they drove around in a van. The four band members and their two, they had one touring guy that went with them. And I don't believe they had anybody, maybe Arturo might've been with them, but they traveled in like a plain white van. It's
Yep.
actually really funny. No limos for the Ramones.
Yeah. Did you know of the Ramones prior to the movie?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I knew of them. Not exactly my cup of tea, but I appreciated their music and the fact they were kind of rebels. I thought was really a blast. And during Rock and Roll High School or right after Rock and Roll High School was finished, they had a gig where they opened for Black Sabbath and got booed off the stage, and I was there, and it was a horrible pairing of an opening act and Black Sabbath, because the Black Sabbath fans just were not ready to listen to the Ramones. And
Well,
the Ramones went and played, and then they liquor bottles started flying at the stage, and they left the stage, and then they went back out and tried to restart their set, and the fans had none of it, and they
well,
went home.
that probably wasn't their worst experience. There was a time when they opened for Toto, and that was horrendous for them, and they didn't even finish their sets. I can't imagine Toto fans being real receptive to the
Yeah, the Toto guys grew up around here. The
Yeah.
Toto guys, and in fact, there's one story that my brother tells where he went, and I think it was Steve Porcaro. One of the Porcaro brothers passed away, but the guitar player actually was, they were about the same age, and one day Ron went over to their house and played with them, because Ron was just learning how to play the guitar, and Ron realized he was way out of his league when, he couldn't keep up. So, but
There
Ron did. Ron played with Toto for,
you
about 15 minutes.
go. Sure. What now? What about working with the rest of the cast? PJ Souls, D. Young, some of them. What was your experience like with all them?
All wonderful. Vince Van Patten, especially. I hung out
Yeah.
with Vince a lot. We were the same age, we ran around together, and it was, PJ, and I've known PJ over the years, but I didn't have a chance to really spend a lot of time with him.
Yeah.
Again, you got to understand, I mean, Roger Corman movies are shooting fast,
Yeah.
and there's just not a lot of time for socializing.
Yeah. And the movie, it didn't perform very well. But it's one of those films that's got a big cult following, right? What's that as an actor? How is that for you, right? Obviously you want it to perform well, but over the years that cult following, I mean there's got to be at least a little bit of, a little bit of satisfaction with that, correct?
Listen, I appreciate that the work that I've been involved with has legs. Rock and Roll High School was, one of those examples. It's worn well. It's I'm very proud that I've been in some movies that have, Waterboy. Now,
Yeah.
Waterboy isn't nearly as old as Rock and Roll High School,
Yep.
but Waterboy is a movie that, yeah, it's a comedy, but man, my wife Kat and I go to these horror conventions and go to these pop conventions, and people love Rock and Roll High School, people love Waterboy.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you, my wife, she saw Rock and Roll High School in the 80s, right? A few years after it came out, home video and whatnot. And she had no idea who the Ramones were. She rented the movie, watched the movie because of Clint Howard. And so she was a fan. You drew her to that movie. And then she developed a liking for the Ramones because of that. So there you go.
Yeah, that's just, follow the rabbit.
That's right. You're
Oh,
the gateway drug to the
well, I appreciate that. And let's see. Let me do a little math. I had been a professional actor for about 16 or 17 years before I did Rock and Roll High School. So yeah, I had already developed quite a track record of participating in entertainment.
I mean, well, right, you started super young, right? You were doing spots on Andy Griffith. Right, and everything else, doing voices in Disney movie. I mean, you were working pretty much as long as you were walking, right? I mean,
But pretty
yeah.
much. I started when I was I, my first professional job was in December of 1961, and that program wasn't aired until 1962. But then I immediately started working, and I did a couple of pilots, and I did an episode of The Fugitive, and I did an episode, a couple of episodes of Please Don't Eat the Daisies. And then actually, early on, the most significant job I did, I was about 5 years old, and I did an episode of Bonanza called All Ye His Saints. And it was a really strong episode, and I had a really good role. And so it was that really solidified me as a kid that could, that could handle dialogue, handle action, as I was a little kid, I wasn't doing anything abnormal. I was doing kid stuff, but I was doing it well, and I owe that all to my dad, Rance Howard. Rance Howard was my, my mentor. He was my dad. He was the one that guided me through, my childhood and into adulthood. And God, for until my dad passed away, he was my best friend. And so anyway, that, I owe this journey to him. And I remind myself of that every day.
Well, that's great. And I mean, your resume is remarkable. I mean, not only some of these things, I mean, you did Star Trek. I mean, it is like a who's who of television programming, movies that you've had spots in. It's pretty remarkable. When you look at your IMDb, if you scroll through it, it's pretty incredible. It's got to be surreal, right? To look at that and think, wow.
Well, I don't know. I'm not even sure what the definition of surreal is. I'll
Sure.
tell you, because it is my life, and I remember most of it. I'm 66 years old, and I'm now having, a few little blank spots. I mean, do I remember being on some of the Westerns I did? I did a lot of Westerns when I was a kid. I was in an episode of Laredo. In fact, the memorable thing about working on Laredo, there was an actor named Neville Brand. He was a very interesting guy, and I remember taking a liking to him. And we filmed up at Universal, where the Universal Studios tour is. But back then, back in like 1965 or 64, whenever it was, the studio tour, the tram, had just started, and the tram would drive around, and they didn't have any attractions. They had Lucille Ball's dressing room. That was a big. Yeah, that was their big attraction. But I remember seeing the tram and thought that was pretty funny. And but I remember working on Laredo. But I did all sorts of. I was in the Virginian, a couple episodes of Virginian. Of course, a little bit later on, I started working in a lot of other television. Marcus Welby, MD. I did an episode of Night Gallery. I did an episode of Gunsmoke. So yeah, my IMDb credit is, it's pretty amazing.
It is.
And
It's
I,
diverse.
well, it is. And I'll tell you mentioned real briefly the Star Trek thing, the Corbomite maneuver. Here I was 6 years old, and maybe I had just turned seven, but I played a 600-year-old alien. So here I was America's littlest character actor.
So when you're out, you mentioned doing conventions and appearances, signings, things like that. How often do people recognize you for Rock and Roll High School of all your stuff?
Oh, it's on the list.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
it's certainly on the list. I mean, I'll be honest, it's probably not number one, but it is there. I sign a lot of original LPs. I sign vinyl. I sign once in a while. I sign laser disc. Rock and Roll High School was put out in laser disc, and I sign that. Those kind of things. I really appreciate the fans. I appreciate the thing. And if it means something to them, and here they are, they've grown up watching me, and now, since we're all getting on down the road, the opportunity to sit and have a chat with somebody for a couple minutes is something that, I enjoy doing. It's fun. And we go out, we do probably about a half a dozen conventions a year.
Well, I do want to talk to you briefly about Ice Cream Man. I'm a horror fan. I love Ice Cream Man. This is another one of those kind of unique roles, right? Kind of a wacky-ish role. Again, this one, when you read the script, you for this role, I mean, you're a guy producing ice cream with human flesh in it. What seals the deal for Clint Howard to take that on and do that role?
Well, it was work. It
Okay.
was work. It was a good role. It was the lead of the movie. It was the ice cream man, And having gone in and met the director, I actually auditioned for Ice Cream Man. And when I went in and met Norman, it wasn't a straightaway horror movie. I had kids in it. Our tongue was firmly planted in our cheek when we made that movie. And it was an opportunity to, for work. And for 3 or 4 weeks, I got paychecks.
I love the movie, and I think you did a great job of making Gregory sympathetic.
Well,
Right?
thank you. And
Yeah.
that leads to another point. Over the course of time, Ice Cream Man has really developed this loyal following and a fan
Yep.
base and a reputation as being a nice piece of entertainment.
Yep.
People love it. That may be number one. If you want to talk about you want to talk about projects that people remember me from, I mean, Star Trek, of course, but Ice Cream Man is right there at the very, very top.
I
But
bet.
we are making a film called Another Ice Cream Man.
Really?
And yeah, my wife, Kat Howard, Norman Apstein, and myself are producing a film that is going to be, it's not a sequel, but it is another Ice Cream Man.
Okay.
And we really think we think the script is solid. We're in pre-production now. We are really aiming and are going to shoot in the first part of the spring, late winter, early spring of 2026.
Yeah, well, that's exciting, right? Because there was talks of a sequel, right? Sunday Bloody Sunday, I've heard that was scrapped and didn't. What happened with that one?
Oh, I don't know. Norman had an approach of do it kind of crowdfunding, and then the initial response was kind of underwhelming, and at that point we kind of lost interest. And it
Gotcha.
was and that was really a sequel.
Sure.
And this is a div you know we all sat down and started thinking, what can we do that's fresh? And we felt like, my God, we can do a movie, and it's not about Gregory. It's not, it's just, and that's why we're calling it Another Ice Cream Man. It's somebody else.
Gotcha. Okay. And another fun part you had was Terrifier 3, right? Where you, I mean, you got killed by Art the Clown. You're in a scene with Daniel Roebuck, Bradley Stryker, of course, David Howard Thornton, in a bar, Christmas setting. That had to be just absolutely a ton of fun to film.
Oh, it was. And that, I'll tell you, the genesis of that is we met those guys, and it was really Kat that identified that this character was going to be something that the public was going to take to. Because we were at a convention and we saw people walking around dressed like Art the Clown, and we didn't really know.
Yeah, yeah.
Why is everybody dressed like this one particular clown? And we did a little investigating, and we found out where Art the Clown came from. And then
Yeah.
we had an opportunity to meet Damien
Oh, yep.
and David Howard Thornton, and Damien immediately came up and said, "Oh, how would you like Art the Clown to kill you?" And yeah, that would be great. Love
Yeah,
it.
yeah.
And the success that Terrifier 3 had, and the fact that it is now, it's a maze at Universal theme park. I mean, it's an absolute home run, because those guys, they started out by making a very tiny little movie. And it did pretty well. And they went out and made another movie, and it did better. And
Yeah.
then they made another one, and it made almost $100 million.
Yeah,
My
absolutely.
goodness. Phil Falcone, the main overarching producer,
Producer.
just along with Damien Leone. And then David is a neighbor. We live in the same community. He's a wonderful dude.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun acting with him. Of course, he's not talking, but I was so impressed by the way he was able to make that character come to life. It was really strong and really beautiful. And I admired it, and I'm really glad I got to participate.
Yeah, it's wild because it's like, right, you've had this long career, and as we said, pretty much your entire life you've been acting. And it seems every decade you pop up in something that's pretty iconic, that's got a cult following, right? I mean, even to this day, Terrifier 3 is pretty modern, but it seems like Clint Howard just keeps popping up and leaving his mark on the entertainment.
Well, again, I like to work, and I want to keep working. I went through a period of time a few years ago where listen, I think it happens to most people, where I got a little, I don't know, I kind of took a sabbatical. It was right around when my dad died. I just felt like I'd done it all. I'd kind of done what I wanted to do, and then actually I met Kat, and I met her, and I saw the I she showed me that there was still plenty of fuel in the tank, and I just got to get off my butt and go and do it.
Yeah.
So,
Well,
We have a 16-year-old daughter, Rafi, who I'm dad, and it's, that's, I don't want to say it's crazy. That would be an easy way to say it's crazy, but being the dad of a teenage daughter is an interesting situation.
It has, yeah. And I gotta send a special, thanks to Kat there. She helped set all this up and coordinate all this, so I appreciate that and everything else. But we've talked about, right, Ice Cream Man, Terrifier 3, these horror movies. Are you a fan of the genre horror?
Well, I'm not. I particularly have certain tastes, but I watch a good horror movie. I mean, heck, I'm going to be co-directing another Ice Cream Man, so I do believe in it. I understand that it's, that there's value scaring people. It's just like telling a campfire story, around the campfire, and it's a scary story.
It's as old as man, right?
People like to be scared, and people like the dark side, and that's what kind of horror movies are. I'm not particularly a gross out kind of guy, although I understand the magic trick of it. I don't, I don't care what I see. I don't care what I see on screen, like Terrifier. I had some very, very frightening images. But I also know that it's just an effect. Everybody gets up and goes to lunch. And so that in anyway, I like good comedy. And at the end of the day, making people laugh and being able to take material and express it in a way where there's humor. And also I like the idea of, even in a dramatic situation, to pull a humorous moment, to find a humorous nugget and shine a little light on it, is something that, we're gonna have that in another Ice Cream Man. Of course, it's a horror movie. There's not going to be nearly as many children in this movie as there was the first Ice Cream Man, but there is going to be some Easter eggs that make people remember the first Ice Cream Man. And listen, when you're writing, funny shit comes up, and we'd like to go ahead and apply that into the story.
Well, I was going to ask then, when Clint Howard sits down to watch something, to be entertained, to decompress, what's your go-to? What is Clint Howard's comfort watch?
Well, I've got my favorite movies that I watch, and Godfather Part Two, I can watch that, over and over and over. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, but I also like good comedies. I mean, listen, there's been some outstanding comedies. Tootsie was an outstanding comedy. Tootsie, in my mind, one of the best movies that you could possibly make. I like Jack Nicholson has always been entertaining to me. So anyway, my taste is kind of across the board.
Well, I was gonna, and we've talked about you, right? You've had a lot of wacky roles, these unique roles. I'm curious because I was trying to recollect, has there ever been an action figure based on Ron Howard?
On Ron Howard?
No, not you. I'm sorry. Excuse me, Clint. I'm sorry. My
I
bad.
don't know.
On any of your characters?
Oh yeah, I've been an action figure. There was a Commander Baylock from the Corbomite Maneuver.
Oh, okay.
There was a little Baylock that came in a set with Captain Kirk and the monster that I had. I signed a lot of those at horror at the conventions.
I bet,
And I don't know if there's been others. There's been people that have made one-off pops of me. There was a mask made of me of Mr. Baggy Britches from Three from Hell.
Yeah. How has there not been a Gregory figure?
I don't know.
Come
There, I'm
on.
sure in the next one, I'm sure Craigie's the character, and I'm sure there'll be a Craigie, action figure.
Well, I hope so. Well, let's kind of wind this down then, right? We mentioned you have this amazing resume, right? Andy Griffith Show, Star Trek, Jungle Book. We've talked all about them. On and on and on. You've written a book with your brother Ron. You're still out there working to this day. What else does Clint Howard hope to work on or achieve in your career?
Oh, I want to continue to work. I mean, listen, this was a surprise thing that happened to me, but last year, I had a 13-episode run on a soap opera, Bold and the Beautiful, and
Yeah.
I got nominated for a daytime Emmy, and that was an honor. I never thought I was going to dabble in soap operas, but I did, and I have profound respect for the people that make those, and it's a great art form, you know. So anyway, I did that. I'd like to continue. I'd like to direct a movie or two before I hang it up, and I would love to, I would love to in, I don't know, 5 or 10 years. I'd like to, with my wife, I'd like to get an Airstream trailer and ride off into the sunset
There you
and
go.
enjoy about 10 years of my life in peace and harmony. I'm not worrying about the business because I'll tell you what, Dan, the business can get on your nerves. It
I
just can't. First of all,
bet.
it's kind of competitive,
Yeah.
you know. There's I don't want to say dog eat dog, but it's a competitive thing, and I want to, I like to compete and I like to do it, but I also, I want to enjoy myself, and we're determined to make that happen.
Yeah, I mean, you've always struck me as kind of a laid back guy. And that's unique sometimes, right, in this business, I would think.
Yeah, I'm laid back to a point, but if you ask my wife about it, and then she all the time we talk about it, Jesus, I that you know, keep breathing, Clint. Please keep breathing. You got to keep breathing because a lot of times I'll get in a situation and I'll get tense and worry about something, and then I'll realize that I quit breathing. So anyway, that's I.
Well, I got a call. How's Ron doing? I mean, your brother Ron, right? Everybody knows Ron. What's he up to? How's he doing?
Ron's doing great. I think he's somewhere in Europe prepping a movie. He's got a war movie that he's doing. Got
Gotcha.
a
Jeez.
modern day war movie. Of course, I made the I knew he was going to do it. He told me that it had gotten greenlit, and I said, "Hey, is there anything in it for me?" And there's not. It's a military movie, and guys like this, they're not real military
Yeah,
guys.
no offense, you don't have that military look, do you? I mean,
But I'll tell you what, I know Ron has. Ron has always enjoyed working with me, and he always says, "Yeah, we're going to work some more.
sure, of
We'll
course.
work together." It's just his, and but he's doing great. He loves to work. He's 71 years old, and he still wants to do it. And in the past, he said he'd like to direct a movie when he's 100. I think he may be dialed that back a little bit, but he wants to continue to do it. I think he's got. Ron probably has 10 more movies in him.
Yeah, sure. Why not? And I mean, yeah, you guys, I mean, again, you've been working together off and on for your entire lives, right? All the way back to Andy Griffith and here and there, off and on. And, you did the book together and everything else. So it's nice to see that. And I hope, right, we'll see some more collaboration between the Howard brothers. That would be
Cool.
nice.
Well, yeah.
And
From your lips to God's ears.
that's right. Well, thank you. Again, I'm a huge fan, Clint. I'm a Ruins fan, so I love Rock and Roll High School. But
Cool, man.
I'm a huge horror fan, so I love Ice Cream Man. I'm a huge fan of the Terrifier franchise, so I love seeing you in that. But you're kind of one of those go-to guys that I like seeing what you're doing.
Oh,
Whatever it
I
is you're
appreciate it.
doing, I seek out to watch your work, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, then I'll end with this. After people finish listening to this, maybe they ought to do a little gabba gabba hey and go have some Butterbrickle ice cream on a waffle cone.
As long as they're not getting it from Gregory, they'll be okay, won't they?
Yep.
I've never quite known. What is Butterbrick? What is that?
I don't know.
I don't
It
know either.
is an ice cream, and I've had it. It's pretty good.
Not me. I've never had it, so I don't know. I'm a weird Midwest guy, and I like this odd ice cream called Superman. This Superman ice cream from the Midwest. So I don't know what Butterbrickle is, but that's right. That would be the best thing, right? Just crank up the Ramones, have a little Butterbrickle. And pay tribute to Clint Howard. There you go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Absolutely. Clint, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much, sir, for coming on and talking to me. And maybe we can cross paths again down the road and talk a little more because you're still working and I'd love to touch base again.
Terrific. Thanks. We'll
All
do
right.
it.
Hey, Bruiser buddies. I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today. With the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
All right, and thank you to Clint for coming on and talking to me about Rock and Roll High School, among other things. So I apologize for those who didn't have an interest. I am a horror fan, so me and Clint did get on to some horror movie discussions. I couldn't help myself. Next episode will be available on December 1st. The guest will be announced soon on social media, so make sure you follow me and the podcast to see who that guest will be. Thank you to all of you listeners and followers. Be sure to tell your friends and fellow Ramones fans about the podcast and help us grow. Like I said earlier, be sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. Plus, if the option is there, leave a rating and review. Also, be sure to follow us on social media. Like I said, we're on pretty much all the platforms. Just search for Pinhead Pod. Be sure to share our post. Help the podcast audience grow. You can give us feedback, suggestions, tell us your Ramones stories, etc. on those platforms. Once again, guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting what we are doing here and trying to listen to, preserve, and hear the stories of the Ramones history. And until next episode, available December 1st, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and gabba gabba hey.
Hey, oh, let's go.